Daniel chapter 7 from verses 9 to 10. Are we still here?
Yes.
Are we still here? Yeah. Daniel 7, 9 to 10. Daniel 7, 9 to 10. I want to share some thoughts. The word says, as I looked, thrones were placed and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was, thank you, fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. Somebody say amen. Open. In Jeremiah, let's also do, okay, we'll come to Jeremiah later. We'll come to Jeremiah. Daniel 7, 13 to 14. Are we still here? Okay. It says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, the clouds of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Someone shout, his dominion. Like we really believe the word, say his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And then see what the word says. It says, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Thank you so much. I like using the economy of scripture. I like leaning on one or two scriptures, because scripture is rich. Amen. It's rich. Let me go straight into it. Our focus tonight is divine patterns. And a few weeks ago, we did some training on what patterns are. So if you haven't watched that training or listened to it, I encourage you to listen to it so that it can very much lay the foundation. All right. But tonight, I really want to lean on this thing that has been in my spirit today. I will title this The Ancient of Days. Can we pray for 1 minute? Can we ask the Holy Ghost to expand our spirits? Can we pray? Can we ask the Holy Ghost to expand our capacity? Expand our capacity. Expand our capacity. Expand our capacity. Give us prophetic precision with apostolic design and pattern for tonight, God. Expand our capacity to receive. Expand our capacity to hear. Expand our capacity to process. Take us beyond what we have known, what we are comfortable with. Take us in. Take us in. Take us in. Someone shout, Lord, take me in. Yeah, someone say, Lord, take me in. The Bible says that Jesus has passed into the actual heavens on our behalf. Say, Lord, take me in. You know, when we pray that, we're not saying that he should take us in legally. He's done that. We're asking him to take us in mentally. Mentally. The challenge that this generation faces when it comes to the handling of the gospel, because we have a higher purpose for gathering tonight. Amen. Let God meet our needs, and we thank God for all of that stuff. But, you know, we want to seek first the kingdom. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We're not up at night for, you know, the Bible says God has prepared better things for us. So that's why we're up. Does that make sense? We're up for the sake of a generation. We are up for the sake of a city. We are up for the sake of a nation. We are up for the sake of nations. We are up for the sake of generations. So one of the challenges that this generation will face in delivering the dominion mandate, by the dominion mandate I mean the kingdom assignment that Jesus has given to us to bring heaven to earth, one of the challenges that we would face is the desire for something new. It's a complex desire, because in one sense we can agree that we need something different and we need something unique and we need a different dynamic and all of those things. So whilst there is a side of desiring something new that is a blessing, there is also a complexity with desiring something new that is problematic. Let me talk to you in practical terms. So for example, it's not everything that you desire freshly that is relevant. Let me explain what I mean by that. Are we still together? Okay, because we want to pray, so I want to get straight to the point. So for example, okay, some of us, we like to update our gadgets ever so often. Okay, and what I mean by that is that if iPhone, what iPhone are they on now? Holy Ghost, help them all. So if iPhone 15 comes out like tomorrow, let's say you're on iPhone 14.99, you know, even though there's nothing like that, but just to stress my example, you want to upgrade to iPhone 15 because it's come out. Does that make sense? If a new type of trainers comes out, let's say the last one was called Air and this one is called Air Max, you leave Air and then go to Air Max Pro. Okay, what I'm trying to say to you is that it's not every time that a desire for something new is accurate. It's not every time that it is relevant. And I suppose the danger that our generation faces as we try to play our own part of advancing the kingdom is how we handle the idea of the new. There was a catastrophe that happened in scripture once. The Bible says that David, like us in our generation, I think that we can be likened, our pursuit for God can be likened to David's pursuit for the ark of God. The Bible says that David sought to bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem from the hands of the Philistines. Are we still here? Please don't sleep. I never say please don't sleep. And if you're online, please don't sleep. If you sleep, I'm going to catch you. I'm going to look. When I start moving, this is how I get people that sleep. I start calling your name in my messages. Once you make it there, you've made it good. Okay. All right. So, should I do a test and call someone's name? Okay, no. All right, good. Okay, so now our pursuit in a sense can be likened to when David desired to bring the ark of God. You understand the symbolism of the ark of God. The ark of God symbolizes the presence of God. He desired to bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and he went out and stepped out. And on this adventure of bringing the ark of God back, they got the ark of God. They were on their way back. And the Bible says that something very interesting. I feel that there's a prophetic emphasis tonight on what the Lord is saying. The Bible says something interesting happened as they were bringing the ark of God back. The Bible says that the ark was the oxen stumbled and the ark was about to fall. And in as the ark was about to fall, there was a gentleman by the name Uzzah. And the Bible says that Uzzah reached out to help the ark of God so that the ark of God would not fall. And the Bible says that God struck Uzzah and Uzzah died. And David that day was terrified of God. He was disappointed, because after Uzzah died, the Bible lets us know that David left the ark of God in the house of a man called Obed-Edom. And the Bible says that ark that killed Uzzah caused Obed-Edom to prosper. Now that's a different message. But now the thing I want to touch there is that this strange occurrence that happened, what are some of the things that we can learn from it? How is it that someone decided to do something good from their heart, but essentially they ended up with a negative result. You will now begin to understand that good by the standards of man is not good by the standards of God. Right? Because God's standards for good are different to God's standards for man. So this thing troubled David so much. And the Bible says that David did something. He wore something called an ephod, which was a priestly type garment. And he went back and he started to study. And this is why what we want to talk about tonight is important. He started to study some of the principles around the ark. And when he studied the principles around the ark, he discovered that there was a breach in their process. That's what he discovered. He discovered that what happened was, from the days of Moses, God gave them peculiar instructions on how to carry the ark. One of the things that God said to them was that, remember, we've studied this at School of Prayer. School of Prayer is coming up soon. Somebody say amen. Come on. We're going from all night to School of Prayer. We will be prayer drunk. Hey, listen, by the time we're done, who is that? What is that? You don't pray about them, you reign over them. You reign over them. Let's put that to the side. So remember, we started our School of Prayer. God told them that there were specific poles that they had to put the ark on. And these poles had four rings that symbolized the gospel. Remember that. Okay. Now, and one of the things that God also gave them as an instruction was that the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. But when David went to recover the ark, something had happened that changed that protocol. Someone say divine protocol. Yeah, a generation that will steward the presence of God must understand divine protocols. That means not anything goes. If you want the longevity you were praying about, it means that not just anything must happen, must go. So now as David studied, he started to see something. What happened was this, was that when the Philistines, when they took the ark from Israel, they constructed a new technology. Now hear me by the Holy Spirit. They constructed a new technology for moving the ark. And this technology was on a cart. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So that was the Philistine invention of how to handle the ark. So when David got the ark back, they inherited the ark back with the protocol of the Philistines. But God's instruction, are we still here? But God's instruction was, when you carry the ark, let it be on the shoulders of the priest, because the ark symbolizes his glory. Because it is man that God in the earth realm has determined that would carry his glory. So as they did that, so David started to study the orthodoxy of the things that God had said, and he realized that there was a breach in protocol. And because of that breach in protocol, it seemed like an innocent man, Uzzah, paid for it with his life. So what happened? There was a breach. And sometimes I feel that we have to be brought back to this level of understanding, because we also, in a generation that we are trying to make impact, we are desiring of a fresh anointing. Everything is fresh. Fresh anointing, fresh grace, new thing. In this era of new, right? It's important to understand that from God's perspective, there is something called the dealings of the Ancient of Days. And that's what I want to touch on tonight. Because when we talk about divine patterns, we cannot escape the idea of God being ancient. So the Bible says, are we still together? Are we making sense? All right, so what I'm saying is this, is that in a desire for the new, in a desire for the fresh, we have to maintain consistency with the Ancient of Days. So that really and truly, there is nothing that we are doing that is really a new invention in the gospel. Are we together? Right? It's not really a new invention in the gospel. Let me explain some of the things that I'm saying. So Daniel saw this vision, and in this vision that he saw the throne of God. And the Bible says that God revealed himself. There were some stunning things. Some of this we covered, similar things at School of Prayer. I'm not going to touch on that tonight. Please go back over the, you know, the teachings at School of Prayer. But you see some interesting things. One of those things is that on the throne that Daniel saw, he saw the Ancient of Days, whose clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Right? To symbolize how seasoned he is. Are we still together tonight? Right? The wool on his hair symbolizes the consistency of his wisdom. Right? The term Ancient of Days is a strange term. It actually appears in the Bible really about 3 times, and all in the book of Daniel. All in the book of Daniel. It's a strange term. And when we try to break that term, that I can just give you a few things that that highlights. One of the first things is the one who is the beginning. The one who is the beginning but has no beginning. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Right? The one who is what? Come on, I know we're at an all night. I know it's not a teaching session. I'm just trying to explain my prayer point. Remember, I'm just trying to explain my prayer point. Okay. The one who is what? That has no, yeah. The one who is the beginning that has no beginning. The one that defines what the beginning looks like. This is the one. Every time God reveals himself in a particular way, he's trying to bring us into a specific operation in a dispensation. So the one who is the beginning that has no beginning. Yesterday, at our primary center, or praying, how do we call it now? Engaging the courts of heaven. I'm also enjoyed that in 9 p.m. prayer. All right. You know, one of the things I was saying to you is that when you study the offices of Christ, the Bible says this. It says, the Lord is our judge. He is our lawgiver. He is our king. He will save us. And I explained to you that those 3 references there are, if you studied anything called like government, we call it government where I come from, there's something called the separation of powers. Okay, and the idea of the separation of powers is that all forms of government must not consist in one single entity for checks and balances, but not so with God. Not so with God. He is the only one that all forms of government consist in him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So every time God reveals himself in a specific way is because he wants to move and operate in that way. The book of Daniel is rich with history. We are, for example, in a very conflicting time. The issues that's happening between Israel and Palestine, and some of those issues that are going on. And we will certainly address those things through prayer. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're not just going to give social media posts. I don't believe in talking. I believe in speaking. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm not a commentator. I'm not an influencer. I'm a mouthpiece for God. If God hasn't said something, then we don't need to see. We just need to keep praying. Somebody say amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Uh-huh. But if the book of Daniel is rich with history, because it deals with some of the conflicts of the end times, trying times, difficult times, perilous times, challenging times, that's what the book of Daniel is about. And God in his wisdom determined that in these end times, one of the revelations that he will propagate the most is the revelation of the fact that he's the Ancient of Days. So he is the one who is the beginning. Nothing phases him. He saw everything when it started. Scripture goes on to say this, that without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, all things consist. Nothing phases him. Everything essentially derives from him. Nothing, there is no plan, there is no counsel, there is no strategy, not from world leaders. There is no cult, there is no occult. That, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Right? That started some kind of strategy to change the world and influence. And he was not aware of their strategies. Himself, he is the beginning. Nothing escapes him. The second thing is that he is the end. Oh, I love this about God. He is the end. Because essentially, when he says it's over, it's over. When he says it's time, it's time. If he was the beginning and he wasn't the end, I would say, okay, he knows what's going to happen at the beginning, but he loses control. But no, he is both beginning and he's both end. Come on, someone, are we still together? Then the third one, I want to move through this quickly. The third one is, this is what we're describing, the Ancient of Days, because all timelines are in his hands. He is the one that holds all times in his hands. He is the one that holds all seasons in his hands. It's amazing that we say we have a relationship with God, but sometimes we don't translate this into practicality. Does that make sense? So for example, tonight you feel like, let me just touch this on for someone's sake. You feel like you've lost time, but if you understand that you're dealing with the Ancient of Days, does that make sense? You keep condemning yourself that you have lost time, that you've wasted years. When you're dealing with the Ancient of Days, the one that holds times in his hands, he is the one in the days of Joshua that caused Joshua to stop a whole day. He will stop a whole day if it's necessary. Does that make sense? He will, whatever he needs, whatever protocol. Listen, he's not subject to anybody. He's not answerable to anybody. You know, we say this thing that for God to intervene on the earth, we need, he needs man's permission. He doesn't need our permission. He needs our cooperation. Those two things are different. I'm not even trying to teach. I'm just trying to explain my prayer point. He does not need permission. He's the one that holds all times and seasons in his hands. Then the last one I will give you is this. He's the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Now let me explain what I mean by that. From everlasting to everlasting. Okay, so here is the point. When we speak about everlasting to everlasting, from our perspective, there is eternity past. Okay, so what is time? Time is just a, for us, time is just a segment in eternity. Okay, from an eternal perspective, eternity is the currency. Time is for man, not for God. So that's why before Jesus came to die, he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundations of the world. It already happened in the mind of God. Time, someone say time is for us. So in our minds, we have eternity past. What do I mean by eternity past? There are things that that have happened way before we even existed. That's eternity past. All right. Then we can say, we can say eternity present. Okay, this is a part of it, especially when you're in Christ. Eternity is not so much what you inherit, but who you inherit. Eternity is not what you, are we still together? Are we still here? Eternity is a person. It's not so much of what, it's not the timeline. No. It's about the one that holds the timelines. So we will say that this is eternity present. And then we can say that there is eternity future, that which is to come. So for simplicity, with God is not that way. But to help us understand it, he can exist in past, present, and future all at the same time. And they are not progressive timelines for him. Did you hear what I said? Okay. So in fact, this is why Sometimes the logic of God is confusing, because when he talks to you, he talks to you from eternity. So for example, he will go to Abraham, who doesn't have a child. He won't say, I will give you a son. He will say, I have made you a father. And then he says, now change your name. Because in eternity like that, there is no process. So when are we still together? So when he's trying to bring you into his realm and into his league, he will start talking some strange things to you. See, I have given you Jericho, but I've not stepped into Jericho. No, you don't need to step into Jericho before you have it, because in his mind, they are one and the same. Whether you step into it physically or whether he says you have it, you have it. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Right? That is him. So he is from everlasting to everlasting. Does that make sense? He runs across. There isn't so much progression. He's not going to be more of God tomorrow. He is eternally, infinitely God. That's the Ancient of Days. So when he begins to deal with us as the Ancient of Days, are we still together? Are we receiving of God's word? When he begins to deal with us as the Ancient of Days, he begins to bring us into his ancient dimension. So for example, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, let me show you this. Because we want to pray tonight. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6 from verses 16 to 17. Jeremiah 6, 16 to 17. Okay, now listen to this. He says, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Can you see that? Where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I have set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. God was speaking to his people, and one of the rebukes that God had for them was that their inability to process the ancient paths. Their inability, because we have this thing, we are always, and I don't have a problem with it. We want a new revival, we want a new outbreak, we want this new, we do this new things, new lights, new, and all of those things, they are not wrong, but we must come to realize that the one with whom we have to do is ancient in his thinking. Is ancient in his thinking. To his people, God said, he said, stand by the roads. And he didn't just say, look. He said, look for the ancient paths. Does that make sense? Because the temptation is, because we feel like, you know, we need a change, we need a revival, we abandon the ancient paths. But the Ancient of Days begins to reveal himself as the custodian of the ancient paths. The custodian. Are we still here? Are we still together? And the revelation of the Ancient of Days is to establish us in how seasoned his patterns are. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's to establish us in how seasoned his ways are. He does not change. Does that make sense? Someone shout, he doesn't change. Are we still here? All right, can we pray? Can we pray for 1 minute? Can we ask the Holy Ghost to energize us? Listen, I don't want you to get tired. Your spirit must override your mind. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray. Kavan sova keterian da baske van tobre ke lahande keterian da baske and dobre de deske. Javan tabaria katandia kos kavari ketelia makos kavaname rabashke yanto bere keteria koskavela katambe reketoni andaraba jabari kaskuvalande beresko vadera ragahanta gaski yando bere rebahande beris kavalanto bera rakahanta valis kavana maraska baketeri andaraba zalabra kataria daba. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. This is what idolatry looks like, departing from the Ancient of Days. This is what idolatry looks like, departing from the ancient paths. That is what idolatry looks like. What does revival look like? Are we still here? What does revival look like? Realigning with the ancient paths. Idolatry is departing from the ancient paths. Does that make sense? We don't outgrow God. You didn't hear what I said. We don't outgrow God. We don't, our innovation doesn't take us outside of the wisdom of God. Does that make sense? It is foolishness to innovate outside of God. It is foolishness. This is what has gotten the nations to where the nations are. Departing from the wisdom of the Ancient of Days. Departing from the idolatry is departing from the ancient ways. So God was calling his people in the book of Jeremiah out of their idolatry, and his call was, look for the ancient paths. Look for the ancient paths. All right. So if a generation is going to bring reformation, change, revival, all of these words that we speak about, it must begin with rediscovering the Ancient of Days, who enables us to rediscover the ancient paths. In the book of 1 Kings, we're almost there because we're going to pray. Amen. I promise we're going to pray. All right. In the book of 1 Kings 18, we see a very interesting experience. The nation of Israel had departed from the Ancient of Days. They had departed from the ancient paths. And they had started to serve other gods, because what causes people to depart from God is this thing of new. We want something new. We want something different. We want something unique. You know, I was listening to a preacher, and he said some people will come and say, you know, make sure that your Christianity is not boring. Which Christianity did you receive? Does that make sense? From when we have to say, make sure your Christianity, which life did you receive? Does that make sense? Listen, let me tell you something. Okay, the generations before us, they might not have been perfect, but you know one thing they didn't do? They didn't leave us with lights. Let me be honest with you, right? Do you know what, if we don't arrest this thing, do you know what this generation will leave for the next generation? Lights, screens, smoke machines. Some of us that had the opportunity to be a little bit close to that generation, they brought us up in the presence, and they were not apologetic about it. Does that make sense? By 13, you are standing, your all night prayer, you're standing. Okay, let me just say it as it is. 13 all night prayer, standing, no chairs. I'm a product of that. Does that make sense? I say that not to boast, but if in those days what they did was, and I like lights, I don't have a problem, please put the lights on. Does that make sense? There's nothing wrong with that. But to think that that's what we're going to give a generation, no, let's set the ancient paths. Let's set the ancient paths. Excuse me. Are we still here? It's a little bit tight. Wow. What was I saying before that? I was saying something before that. Yeah. I stopped there. But did I say something else after that? Yeah, the desire for something new. Right, the desire for something new. This desire for, you know, it's like Eve. What did the enemy do? There's something else. There's something you don't know. There's something, does that mean? There's some type of new. Not everything new should excite you. Sometimes leave my old stuff. Are you like that sometimes? There are some things, I've had them for long, I like them that way. Does that make sense? The new one doesn't do it like the old seasoned veteran. Yeah, the gospel, the inerrancy of the gospel, the orthodoxy of scripture, leave it that way for me. Someone say, leave it that way. So the people of Israel in 1 Kings, they had departed from the ways of God, because I told you idolatry begins with looking for new outside God. And so Elijah, in his work of restoration and reformation, had a very interesting encounter with them. We're going to pray tonight. Amen. And in this encounter, he called for a showdown, because the time for talking is over. Okay, the time for talking is over. There are some things only power encounters can settle them. Does that make sense? You don't, in the kingdom, you don't fight logic with logic. You fight power with logic. Then when people get power, you start logic. That's 1 Corinthians 2. That's the wisdom. Okay? The problem is when you go evangelism, because they're being logical, you enter logic too. No, enter power. Does that make sense? So they say, I don't believe in healing. Like, then you go, that left part of you, that does that make sense? Then they will believe. Then now start the logic. So power and, because if you study the prophets of Baal, okay, they were under the leadership of Jezebel. And Jezebel, okay, in that time would have had a great educational systems to raise these prophets. So please don't think that these prophets are just weird woo-woo-woo people. No, they had brain. They came with logic. Does that make sense? That's why Jezebel in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, one of the major things was her doctrine. Oh my God. Just like the Jezebel of Ahab, okay, this Jezebel in the New Testament seduced people with her doctrines. She believed in education. She believed in indoctrination. Okay. So Elijah now stands and he begins to deal with the prophets of Baal, because this whole setup had departed from the ancient ways. And he said to them, he said, you know what? If God is God, we must establish that. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to raise altars and sacrifice. Someone say altars. Someone say sacrifices. Someone say altars. Someone say sacrifices. He said, we're going to raise altars. We're going to raise sacrifices. And we are going to call on the person, the gentleman who is God. Okay, so if your God is God, if Baal is God, let him answer by fire. But if Yahweh is God, let him answer by fire. So the prophets of Baal, they started their ceremony from morning to night. They did their opening ceremony like the Olympics. You know what I'm talking about? Basically, they stared themselves. They even cut themselves. Can you imagine? Right? Idols, man-made gods. They have eyes, but they don't see. Let me not even start. Do you see what I'm saying? They even cut themselves and they did all. And I love Elijah. Elijah is my kind of guy. He's a bit cheeky. He goes, yeah, maybe he traveled. I love it. Even maybe his Uber hasn't come. He said maybe he traveled, maybe he missed his flight, maybe, you know, he said try harder. He even encouraged their ministry. Does that, you know, there are times you have to encourage people's ministries too. He encouraged their ministry. He tried hard. So after they had exhausted themselves, now this is where I'm going. Because Elijah understood that the one that he dealt with was the Ancient of Days. The Bible says that the first thing Elijah did before he called fire down, and this is very important for our generation. This is why we are having all these meetings where God is expanding us. Does that make sense? Imparting us, opening our minds. That's why we're having all these meetings, so that we don't waste our time and effort. The first thing that Elijah did before calling fire down, the first thing was, the Bible says that he rebuilt God's altar. He didn't start calling fire down. Does that make sense? He didn't shout fire, 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 fire 7 times. Fire 21 times. The first thing he had to do was to rebuild the altar of the Lord. That was the first thing he did. And in rebuilding the altar of God, what was Elijah doing? He was reclaiming God's design. Someone say, reclaim God's design. Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because I told you about divine protocols. Divine protocols are about divine designs. There are things you want to do in your life. Make sure that you build it on God's design. Does that make sense? The things that you want to have longevity, don't compromise the process. It's a matter of design. If something is not designed to function in a particular way and you try to force it in that way, it becomes a problem later. Are we still together? So the first thing that Elijah did was that he rebuilt the altar of God and he was reclaiming God's design. And Elijah established something so important, that fire does not fall until the altar is appropriately configured. So you see all these things that we do, that we shout fire, 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 power, you know, all these things. If the altar of the Lord is not correctly configured, if his design is not reclaimed in a generation, do you understand what I'm saying? This is why one of our building strategies is to emphasize the book of Acts. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because the book of Acts is about God's design for the kingdom, for the church. Okay, they gave themselves to prayer. That's why we also, you know, I was looking at it, and by God's grace, October this month made it a whole year we've been praying without fail. Come on, somebody. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying to you? Can you imagine? And the enemy will lie to you and say, oh, that's not possible. How much do we have this capacity on the inside of us? Hey, listen, you know what? We're going to go from there. We're going to have prayer every 3 hours. Come on, you're not believing with me. Just, do you understand what I'm saying? There's going to come a point on this earth that there will be no single hour without prayer. Someone somewhere in some place raising up altars all over the place. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Hey, there's going to come a time in the earth. God is going to mobilize movements. Does that make sense? As one church is covering 1 hour, another church is covering another hour, and you will see the kind of move that this earth has never seen. Fire does not fall onto your word. The altar is configured. Those are patterns. Are we together? Those are patterns. All right. And what does the altar symbolize? The altar symbolizes sacrifice. Right? You see, one of God's key patterns, whenever God wants to do some things, he'll begin to provoke sacrifice in the earth. And it's not the kind of sacrifice that brings salvation, but the kind of sacrifices that establishes the experiences of salvation. So it's a sacrifice to spend, you know, 4 Fridays when you could have been sleeping or been a culture night. Basically, well, we prepared for this moment because all those culture nights into like 4 a.m., you know. All right. See, it's going to take sacrifice. Does that make sense? Sacrifice requires diligence. It requires consistency, right? It's not just what I do. It's how I do it. Did you hear me? It's not just what I do. Elijah shows us at the altar he reconstructed that it wasn't enough for him to begin prayers. It mattered the level of accuracy and design that he employed. The altar symbolizes sacrifice. The altar also symbolizes God's principles. Someone say God's principles. Because this is why we must pray and be informed. Do you see what I'm saying? If we don't pray with spiritual information, we can waste the deposit of God in a generation. Someone say his principles. Oh, I love what Elijah did. The Bible says that Elijah, he took 12 stones that symbolize what? The 12 tribes of Israel. Someone says his principles. I love it because when Jesus too came to the earth, And he wanted to establish his work. He also went for 12 disciples. And then I love it because the apostles also recognized this, because when the church was about to be instituted, they made sure that the number 12 was also in place. Someone say his patterns. Someone say his ways. Someone say his designs. Say, in the name of Jesus, we are the generation that will reclaim God's designs. Let's pray that for 1 minute. Let's pray that for 1 minute. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we are the generation that will reclaim his designs. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. We are the generation that will reclaim his designs. We are the generation that our efforts will not be futile. Our efforts will not be futile. We will reclaim his designs. We will reclaim his designs. Listen to me. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm going to get you to pray again. Let me tell you something. There are so many things that are happening in the spirit in this season, basically. But I will explain this to you. In my journey, I thank God for my journey and the faith that, like Paul said to Timothy, the faith that once dwelt in his grandparent and his mom and his grandma. So I thank God for my journey. I recognize the dealings of God. It would be silly to not acknowledge what God did. All right. So now, and this is the story for some of you or many of you. In my journey, I had the opportunity to be developed for prayer, to be trained for prayer. Does that make sense? I had the opportunity to be trained for prayer. So, for example, like going to prayer mountains. Anyone ever been to a prayer mountain before? Going to a prayer mountain. I'm not talking about like, you know, hotel, five-star Airbnb, mountain. Like mountain outside, not indoor. Mountain is outdoor. Okay, out dark, black, cold mountain. All right. So I thank God for some of you are laughing. Don't worry, we will go. We'll go. Basic. You know, on those mountains, there are people that live there. And man, visions. Oh no, televisions. visions. No, this is beyond visions. This is tele HD 4K. Some of the stuff we now say, oh, this is word of knowledge. Oh no, you will pass out because somebody reviewed what's on your wardrobe. Oh no, by the time, because of the prayer at that altitude, they are praying good. So I thank God for that. I thank God for being exposed to that kind. I was born for this. I'd say that not to boast. And it's the grace of God. But I said all of that to say this. This is where I'm going. So whilst I thank God for that heritage, whilst I maintain that, right, what I'm going to do with that in my generation, now we're talking corporately, is to use that discipline now to reclaim his design. Does that make sense? Because in that space, I had breakthrough, but I didn't hear kingdom enough. But I thank God, I take breakthrough, but I progress to kingdom. It would be silly to say, this is nonsense. No, it's not nonsense. It was a move, but it wasn't the move entirely. Does that make sense? So now when we are raising up people, I'm not going to get you here up all night to be praying prosperity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Interestingly though, if I teach you to pray kingdom, you will prosper. that's the interesting thing. Does that make sense? If I raise an army, we are praying for nations. Does that make sense? We are praying God. Of course, we pray all kinds of prayer. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when we come here, it's a kingdom agenda. So I'm going to take all of that discipline. I would be silly to say I'm not taking it. This is the problem with some people. They would say everything that they've learned before is rubbish. No, build yours. Build something. I will take all of that with honor and with respect. And I will say, God, wow, this is what it is. there are things I want to begin to say. Okay, let me just say then, if you decode it, there are prayer meetings that are going on right now. Let me say it as it is. There are these early morning prayer meetings, and so you know what I'm talking about. And these prayer meetings, they are not, I can see people criticizing them. So for example, what God cannot do does not exist. So I can see people outrightly criticizing those kind of prayer meetings. Now, I get a little bit of their heart, because the truth of the matter is, as I was preaching a few weeks ago, that anything that will make me get up daily at 5 must be bigger than, does that make sense? Do you see what I'm saying? It must be bigger than what someone can go and get from their government. Hello, someone. Does that make sense? Uh-huh. My reward for getting up to pray cannot be money, because the unbeliever has money. I mean, God give me money, but yes, what I'm saying to you. But that cannot be the whole reward. Do you see what I'm saying? My reward for getting up to pray like that cannot just be healing, because what happens after I get the healing? What happens? Okay, what happens? This is how it is in apostolic dimension. We just be saying what we need to say, right? That cannot be it. It cannot be career, because there is someone at my workplace who didn't pray and got the promotion. But we know that still comes from God. The Bible says that God makes it rain both on the just and the unjust. What unjust? What is the difference between the person that prayed, that didn't pray to get promotion, and the person that prayed? Oh, the winner is the one that prayed, even though they both had promotion. Because in the process of praying, the one that prayed had the opportunity to know God better. So what, do you understand what I'm saying to you? So whilst one was focused on the job, God is saying, no, I'm going to use this to get you to conform to my image. That's the real win. Someone said that's the real win. So I get it. So when I look at some of these prayer meetings, and they're very much about, you know, breakthrough and what God can give, let's not condemn them. Because what we can do is take that discipline. Are we together? Take that. Have you stayed up for 5 a.m. for a year? Have you stayed consistent? Don't blame the man that's staying. Take his consistency. Does that make sense? Have you stayed up for 5 a.m. for a year? A whole year, even eating, you just there are days that we don't eat. So consistency should never be mocked. You have to learn this, that your honor is a principle in the kingdom. So whilst I may think they could be praying for nations and regions more, I recognize that what God may be fostering in a people is the discipline to pray. And then you'll now see, maybe in a few years, the operation of God will switch with that community, and they begin to pray more kingdom things. But what God has achieved in his people now is a discipline. Well, you know what, in my growing I took the discipline, but I'm determined that with that discipline, does that make sense, I'm going to go beyond breakthrough. I thank God for breakthrough, and we're going to keep having more breakthroughs. Amen. But I'm going to go beyond breakthrough. I'm going to take the consistency from there, and I'm going to reclaim God's design for the earth. Did you hear what I said? Come on, church. Did you hear what I said? Wow. I'm going to go beyond that. Okay, quickly. Let's go through this. Wow. Time. All right. So, you know, fire doesn't fall onto the altar, is configured. The altar symbolizes what? Sacrifice. Do you get that? Okay, it symbolizes the principles of God. Someone said the principles of God. The principles of God, the ways of God. Another thing we can say in that light is that the altar symbolizes truth. The principles of God are true. Does that make sense? The altar symbolizes truth. So if Elijah did all the dancing, the praise break, the flagging, how many of us enjoyed the way Flo was dancing even without the flag today? Okay, all right. So if Elijah mimicked Flo and he went in for the prophets of Baal, I don't know how you do the moves. Does that make sense? Because I don't want my hand to break. You know what I'm saying to you? You know, like, you know, that I need that angel that walked on Jacob's side to touch me. God is able. So I'm not even going to try it. Otherwise, that angel will come and fix one that was broken. Do you see what I'm saying? But if Elijah did, and that's what we do today. We do all the prophetic dance, the prophetic signs, and this and that, and all that. And the fire still does not fall. Or what falls is strange fire. If all of what he did was not rooted in truth, It doesn't matter how much of that he did. Wow. So what Elijah did was he went for the ancient paths. And you go for the ancient paths by recognizing the supremacy and the sovereignty of the Ancient of Days. That his wisdom is eternal. It is timeless. Someone say his wisdom is timeless. Someone say his wisdom is eternal. Someone say his wisdom is out of this league. The wisdom is so much. The wisdom is so much that God can tell you something. Oh, are you ready for this? That makes no logical, physical sense. For example, he tells a man to start building an ark and it had not rained like that before. That is his wisdom. His wisdom perfectly forecasts the future. He tells a man to begin a project that other people, the experts of his day, his contemporaries and his colleagues, thought he had lost his mind. His wisdom is so out of this league that when you operate in it, it can look foolish. Someone says wisdom. So Elijah calls fire down from heaven and the fire comes and consumes the sacrifice because he had rebuilt the altar of the Lord. And in one sense, seeking out the ancient paths, right? The danger that I see ahead is various versions of Christianity. That's the danger I see ahead. That's the danger that I see is tweaks to the faith. Tweaks. Father, Mother, God, tweaks. Tweaks. You live in a culture that does not know how to deal with, you know, you can be, what's the word now? You can be understanding but not tolerate evil. The danger that is ahead is tweaks to the faith. So if a generation, are we still together? If a generation is going to handle the dealings of God, right? We must be ancient in our faith. We must be ancient. Someone say ancient. Someone say ancient. What are some of the benefits of seeking the Ancient of Days? One of the first benefits is that he begins to reveal to us the ancient paths. Does that make sense? God said to them in the book of Jeremiah, he said, search out. He said, stand in the way. Does that make sense? Stand in the way before you begin what you call ministry, before you begin what you call business, before you kingdom business and kingdom project. He said, stand in the way. And he said, search out the ancient paths. Search it out. Search it out. Oh, there are things. I was sharing today, because there's a whole prophetic, when I share these things, you have to understand that these are not just principles. There's a whole prophetic dimension to this in experience. Okay, I will just share a little bit of this with you guys. No, I won't go too deep into it. Today as I was meditating, I was sharing, I was remembering this. This had not crossed my mind. Because you will come to, are we still here? I'm shifting into, so because somebody needs to hear this. You come to understand how ancient God is in his dealings, that mantles are ancient. Those who are emerging in ministry today think that they're doing something completely new. No, it's not, that's not really what's happening. Can I tell you what's happening? What's happening is that as God begins to transition one generation in terms of their spiritual estate, right, he begins to bring in people to fill those spaces in the spirit. That's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens. This one needs a, which school would we call this now? What kind of school? This school of
inheritance, ancient wells.
Yeah, yeah. He begins, you know what he begins to do? No, that okay, we'll call that one school of ministry proper. School of ministry proper. All right. He begins to shift people. So if you're not sensitive, mantles are falling. You wouldn't know if you're not sensitive. Are we together? If you're not sensitive, so you would think that you just emerge. No, you're of an order in the spirit. Even Jesus did not just emerge. He was of the order of Melchizedek. There was a pre-existing order that Jesus belonged to. You have a type in Christ. So I said this to say, now this will amaze you. Are we still together? This will amaze you. So I was just, you know, meditating, getting ready for today. And then it occurred to me that I think like a few months ago, in a dream, the wife of probably like the biggest like church woman in the world came to me in the dream and prayed for me to start night vigils. Now that's weird. So I had not processed it. I had not actually really processed it. Now, of course, in my mind, I don't need prayer to start night vigils. We'll just do it anyway because we were born that way in Christ. Okay? Because God has wired us that way. But it's weird. It's weird that in a dream, in an encounter, I receive an impartation to start all night prayer meetings. Did I share with you? I think I told you that. Did I tell you that? I think I did, yeah, at the time. But the thing is, I'd actually forgotten about it. So I was, and the Holy Ghost reminded me. I said, okay, no wonder. So that's why, so we did, now did four straight. Okay, that's this. Now, what happened there? What the Lord is, now, number one, there's so many interesting, because the Holy Spirit likes to share secrets. Number one of the things the Lord did there was to show me the secret behind, one of the key secrets behind the influence of that leader's ministry. His wife, you would never know. So without meeting her, I now know she specializes in all-night prayers. You see that? But then, so that means, now are you ready for this? Are we still here? That means she has done it so well, now it's now become a mantle. Do you see what I'm saying? She has cultivated it so well, it is now a mantle that cannot be transferred. It's like now an office of knowledge. You know, but it's not an office. It's become an estate in the spirit that is now habitable. That is habitable. Now, that's similar to one of the mandates I received from the Lord. Because in another encounter, one of these generals in a dream, now it's not them physically, it's Christ. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because you will not be looking for weird people. And he goes, what a faith. I'm not talking about what the fate of money, seed, me. No. Does that make sense? Now, I just did all of that to explain to you, all right, the ancient God, all right, that some of the things we're going to step into, they're not necessarily new. Does that make sense? We are going to step into, are we still here? We're going to step into things that have been cultivated, things that have heritage and history to them. Does that make sense? And we are in that time because God has been taking his generals home. Does that make sense? God has been taking his generals home. He's started. We are in that time. It's like a generation shift. Listen, let me tell you something. I get it, but listen to me. There are some things you don't do without authorization and mantles. There are some things. Okay. So what are the benefits of seeking the ancient of the ancient paths? Someone say the ancient paths. That is one. The second one is the credentials that comes from his presence. The credentials of his presence. When you seek the ancient of days, are we still here? Okay. Are we tired? Are we so hungry to learn? Okay. When you seek the ancient of days, when you seek him as the ancient of days, there are credentials that he gives you to represent him in his presence. That is why when you read the book of Daniel, God was very keen to help us understand concerning Christ. Because what you see is that as the ancient of days took his seat and sat on his throne, Christ was brought and he was given dominion over the nations. When he reveals himself as the ancient of days, all right, there are certain credentials that come from his presence that become notable, not just to fellow humans. They become known in the spirit. The same man who had this revelation of the Ancient of Days, the same man Daniel, was the one that an angel walked up to and said, Daniel, you are greatly esteemed. Imagine an angel saying, yeah, you are greatly esteemed. That means, he said, Daniel, from the day that you prayed, word went out in heaven. From the day that you prayed. That's what he said. He said, from the day that, in other words, when Daniel prayed, there was like Daniel's prayer. The credentials. Listen, not everybody prayed and caused a cosmic shift. Not everybody did that. Not everybody. Please understand what Daniel carried. Please understand what he carried. Not everybody prayed and their prayers triggered angels to come down, demons to try and resist angels. There are credentials that seeking the Ancient of Days gives you. It's the credentials of his presence. Does that make sense? You see that those credentials, let me tell you this. Now, I believe in ordination, I believe in process and all of that stuff, but even that can be used wrongly. There are people that you can pay for your ordination, and they will now give you certificate. So if you want to be apostle, prophet, archbishop, doctor, rev, pope, you can get all of that. But is it not better alongside ordination to get the credentials of his presence? Does that make sense? If 10,000 leaders lay hands on you, but you don't have the credentials of his presence, there are some things you can't stand. Let me tell you something. Can I push this a little bit? Listen, authorization matters. You see, when it comes to change and impact a ministry, it's an authority thing. It's an authority thing. It's whether you have the license to practice some of those things. There are some things that are in the name of Jesus generally. There are some things that are in the name of Jesus plus alignment. Does that make sense? There are credentials. Are we still here? We're almost there. All right. There are credentials that come from his presence. No wonder that the revelation of the Ancient of Days was the revelation upon which the kingdom of Christ and his coronation is revealed to us in the book of Daniel. Are we still here? Okay, the third benefit of seeking the Ancient of Days is the wisdom and the experience that he imparts to you. This one is beautiful. Let me tell you this. Wisdom is not a product of years. Please hear me and let me say this with humility. You can be grown but foolish. Please. Have mercy on me. Okay, it's very possible to advance in years. This is what Elihu said. He said, I thought that years should teach wisdom. Are you ready for this? You want to write this up. The presence of God can grow you up. Yeah, the presence of God can grow you up and teach you things that are beyond human comprehension. In the presence of God, okay. I love when in Psalms it says this. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." We only say, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." See, that's the breakthrough mindset. This is what I'm saying. He said, "You will show me the path of life. Then in your presence is fullness of joy." If I don't see the path of life, there's no fullness of joy. Did you hear what I said? So there is that wisdom and that experience that comes from his presence, right? You are grown beyond your years. That's what happened to Jesus. The Holy Ghost taught him. The Bible says, and when they heard him speak, they were amazed at his teaching and his doctrine, because his words were filled with power. Jesus as an 8-year-old, as a 12-year-old, because when you rub mind with the Ancient of Days, you also start becoming ancient. Oh, come on, somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? You also start becoming ancient. It rubs off on you. You start talking with seasoned wisdom. There is experience is added to you. Listen, experience is not just a function of time. You can be in a church 20 years and still lack experience in the things of God. You can be in a job 50 and still lack. Have you not seen jobs where somebody comes from outside? Someone has been in a company for so many years. Somebody comes from outside, a new graduate, and has the relevant and overtakes them. There's something about this. Okay, and then this is the last one we'll touch on. Are we still here? Have we learned something from this? Because when we were going to spend the last 20 minutes praying into this, all right? Now, the last one is this. One of these benefits is the whole counsel of God. Someone say the whole counsel of God. Yeah, the whole counsel of God. The benefits of seeking the Ancient of Days. I begin to get the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Can we pray? Kavons kavana kateriana kanskovali banderando shkavanai. Lekevensina konsavre keterianda ba. Rabakanskovadigae teteria koskavanaba. I want us to ask him to increase our capacity. Increase our capacity. As a body of Christ, increase our capacity. Increase our capacity. Increase our capacity. Kavire skovande brede skavera rakavasi ande bredis kavanda kateri andaba rabakatelia kos kavanamasi ande reba kovanse na ketade ya sovande kebaris kabakatania kos kavanama. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Someone said the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God essentially suggests that there is, now watch this, okay, now this is very important, okay. There is negative abundance. Let me explain what I mean by that to you, right? If I want to eat, and some of you guys may not agree with this, and I pack my whole plate with meat only. as nice as meat is, okay, that feast there is not balanced. It is plenty. No, Suya is an exception. Glory to God. They that wait on the Lord in Zion shall renew their strength. Let's leave Suya. Okay. Suya exempted. Now, someone saying, what is Suya? Everything kebab aspires to be. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Right. But if I fill my whole plate with meat, there is abundance, but there is no balance. Okay, so that means what that plate is lacking is dimensions of nutrition. the same thing with the things of the spirit. So, okay, if I'm not careful, if I'm not conscious of the spirit, if I don't seek God, I can lack something called the whole counsel of God. In other words, in this area, my understanding of God is accurate, but in this area is delinquent. And what would happen is, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, I saw that now as an image, because the Holy Spirit teaches me. You know what would happen? It's like someone who walks, but walks with a limp. Now, so I saw that in an image. You see that? So you're walking, but you're walking with the limp. And if you're walking with the limp, there's only so fast you can go. But you're still walking. You are still walking with God, but with a limp. Do you see what I'm saying? See, these things are necessary for a generation. So not having the whole counsel. So Paul said in one place, he says, I've not failed to show you the whole counsel of God. There's something about being around the Ancient of Days. Does that make sense? So what you have, for example, in the church is that you have some people, there are areas that they have mastered, perfected, but other areas, okay, they're delinquent in. Other areas, they're not able to. So they would say things like, okay, you know, Jesus went to the cross, but the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Do you see that? They would say, Jesus went to the cross, but this whole kingdom thing is dominion, not theology. You see that? They don't know the whole counsel of God. But there's something about seeking. And the whole counsel of God that we don't know as a generation now becomes a limitation to the next generation. We owe it. One of my desires, we're going to pray. One of my desires, one of my deepest desires is that we don't build or rebuild something that the generation that will inherit the gospel after us, Jesus tarrying, they have to build that thing back up again. Can I tell you something? Okay. Revival to me is secondary theology. Okay, Jesus never used the word revival like that. He didn't. He talked about kingdom, but we need revival so we can get to kingdom. So I want the generation that's coming after us, I want our generation to so build and have the whole counsel of God. What's happened? I'm done. What's happened with our generation is this: a generation arose that in their discipling of the world, they didn't disciple their families. This is how we got here in the UK. This is how we got here. The fault, the loss, are you with me? Of the impact of the gospel did not happen in their day. The fathers that established the work here, that, hey, Satan is not great at all. He's not great. One thing you mustn't underestimate is his ability to play the long game. You will be joking. One thing about him is patient. Yeah, he's patient. He can play. Thank you. He can play the long game. Are we together? So he can. So in that generation, he left them to go into nations. That's why I tell you, when you guys are having children, I'm their pastor, their apostle, and their uncle. We. All three offices. I'm their uncle. I'm not just, yes, because I'm, watch. You guys will even be jealous and say, I'm also, like, whose pastor are you really? Your children. Say, I'm not joking. Watch. I have eyes on them. Because what the enemy did with that generation was to allow them go to nations and travel and things like that. but he started working on their children. So now, like the scripture says, a generation arose that did not know the Lord. But you know what it is? That can be down to not knowing the whole counsel of God. And not knowing the whole counsel of God limits us and limits us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Shall we rise to our feet to pray? Did we get something from that? We're going to pray. Somebody say amen. I have a few minutes. All right, shall we lift up our voice? Say Holy Ghost. Say Holy Ghost. Say Holy Spirit. Energize me. Invigorate me. Stir me. Quicken me to pray. Shall we lift up our voices and begin to pray? Kevanto vina ketambaris kavanta gaderia kovasenale lekahandi gedia kutaria kital skavana kebelon skavene keteria gadaba rakia katara katade deskovela lekahandi bediando beris gavakatera rabakatande bedegeya skovadadaba lekevando skafera kaba kabales kavena katambarati abe rabedadia konskavana naba sharadadia konskavela
Energize us to pray.
Quicken us to
pray. And quicken
us to pray. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, Father.
Father.
We agree with you.
We agree with you.
We are the generation.
We are the generation.
That will reclaim.
That will reclaim.
Your design.
Your design.
In the earth realm.
In the earth realm.
Shall we lift up our voices and pray? It is our destiny to reclaim your design. It is our destiny to reclaim your designs. This is why I have breath. It is our destiny to reclaim your designs. We did not stay up for little things. We did not stay up for insignificant things. God has prepared better things for us. God has prepared better things for us.
In the name of Jesus.
It is my destiny.
It is my destiny.
It is my purpose.
It is my purpose.
It is my assignment.
It is my assignment.
It is my design.
It is my design.
To reclaim God's design.
God's design.
In my generation.
In my generation.
Shall we lift up our voices, yes, and pray?
Yes, Lord.
Shavelo no
basinamande. It is my design.
Reke parascovande bede.
In this generation.
Ramine niascovande de riaso.
In this generation.
Those of you that are online, I want you to pray.
Somebody pray. Somebody pray. I was born for this. It is my destiny. It is our destiny to reclaim the designs of God in our generation. It is my destiny to reclaim the patterns of God for my generation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the book of Micah chapter 4 from verses 1 to 2, a key scripture for the next few weeks. The Bible says he shall come to pass. Someone say he shall come to pass.
It shall come to pass.
I want you to lift up your voice and say, in our day.
In our day.
And in our time.
In our time.
We will see with our eyes.
We will see with our eyes.
We will see it in our day.
We will see in our day.
Say it shall come to pass.
That it shall come to pass.
Say with me. Say God.
God.
Say God.
God.
He's not a man.
He's not a man.
That he should lie.
That he should lie.
Or the Son of Man.
Or the Son of Man.
To change his mind.
To change his mind.
In our day.
In our day,
in our time,
in our time,
in our dispensation,
in our dispensation,
it shall come to pass,
it shall come to
that
pass,
the mountain of the Lord,
the mountain
shall
of the
be
Lord
established,
shall be established
as the highest,
as the highest
of the mountain,
of the mountain,
it shall be lifted
it
up,
shall be lifted
above
up
the hills,
among the hills,
and
peoples
shall flow
into it,
and
strong nations
shall come
into it,
they shall say, let us go up.
Let us go
they
up.
Shall say,
they shall say,
let us go up.
Let us go
to
up
the mountain,
to the mountain
of the house
of the house
of the Lord
of the Lord
of Jacob
of Jacob,
that he will teach us his
that
ways,
he will teach us his ways,
that we will walk in his path,
that we will walk in his path.
Say out of Zion,
out of Zion.
Say out of the ecclesia,
out of the ecclesia,
out of the ecclesia,
out of the ecclesia.
The law of God,
the Lord of God,
will go forth,
will go forth.
The word of the Lord,
the word of the Lord,
will go forth,
will go.
Now lift up your voice and begin to pray. In our day and in our time, we will see this also. We will see this also. We will see this also. There is yet a harvest for the nation. In the Kebele Yakatana,
in the Pante Brekete Pete,
in the Pante
Brekete Pete, in the
Pante Brekala
Daya,
the nations are coming. The nations are coming. The nations are coming. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations. Hey, they will say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Lest I will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. London will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. The United Kingdom will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Europe will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Asia will say, let us go to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Australia will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Africa will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Every continent, men will say, woman will say, children will say, young people will say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. Hey, sinners will say, let us go up to the mountain, to the mountain of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let me give you this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Concerning John, the Bible says he was the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain shall be brought down. Now, what do we learn about a voice there? That a voice is not just for speech. A voice is a tool of construction in the spirit. Every mountain shall be leveled. Every valley shall be filled. Make straight the crooked. Can you see what I'm saying? So in other words, all right, God can put in a generation the ability to reconstruct his ways. I believe that our assignment as a house and as a movement is, we're not just called to some of the things that we're seeing, but in this house, in this movement, God is going to begin to raise those that rediscover the ancient paths. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The level of the word of God in this movement is going to be so high. I'm not saying this at a place of pride. I'm not saying this at a place of pride at all. It's because of the assignment. The revelation of Jesus that's going to be present. Why? What is God doing? He's reconstructing ideas. Does that make sense? He's reconstructing the understanding of a generation. The word says, they will say. Someone say, they will say.
They will say.
Say shortly.
Shortly.
So we say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Are we still here? Yeah. Say with me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Shortly.
Shortly.
The nations.
Will say.
Let us go.
Let us go.
To the mountain.
To the mountain.
Of the house.
Of the house.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Let me explain this. See what the word says. They will say, let us go up. So that means there is elevation for the church. Did you hear what I said? Can I tell you about this end time church?
Yes.
This end time church does not deal in defeat. This end time church is a company of indomitable overcomers. There is elevation for the church. There is elevation. The end time church is going to be the strongest church that Jesus has had. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Acts is our template. But whatever they did not do, whatever they did not accomplish, whatever they did not reach, this end time commission will accomplish. Somebody say amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Because the Bible says that we are with open face, beholding as in a mirror, are changed to the same image from glory to glory. So with God, he always saves the best for the last. You see all the weaknesses you see in the end time church? That's not how we're going to end. No. The enemy is just trying it, but we're 1,000 times bigger on the inside. We're 1,000 times stronger on the inside. Listen to me. If you feel weak, if you feel under pressure, I'm telling you this, you're 1,000,000 times bigger on the inside. Somebody laugh in the Holy Ghost. Laugh. You don't know how to laugh in the... You guys are looking at me. Hey, listen. There comes a time. There comes a time that the administration of prayer is laughter. It's deadly for the enemy. It's over for him. You know, when we're younger, we did things. Our parents will laugh at you. When they laugh, you know, yeah, this one. Let me tell you. The Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. Somebody laugh. I'm teaching. Yay! The enemy wants you to be silent, to be depressed. In the name of Jesus Christ, be baptized with joy. Be baptized with joy. Put off that garment of depression. Put off that garment in the name of Jesus. And put on the garment of praise. Hey, kafasan beteri andaba, jakefelon sanekate, ila konfasinamai, ebante la kafansinamai. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, shall laugh, shall laugh. Father, we steward dominion in the earth realm, in the earth realm, in the earth realm, in the earth realm. Hey, kavan somaneniya katani adaba. Say with me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The nations are coming.
The nations are
to coming. Learn from the church.
To learn from the church.
Did you hear what you just said?
Yes.
The nations are coming to learn from the church. If Daniel was in an inferior covenant, and the magicians, the experts of his day, were seeking him out, that's in an ladies and gentlemen, that's in an inferior covenant. What do you think is the heritage? Do you think that the apostles were being beaten? No, these were not people. The problem was what they possessed was too strong that it was a threat to the powers of their day. Do you know how they saw them? They said, the men that have turned the world upside down. Listen, we have something. See, we listen, our generation is not just going. In the name of Jesus, I stand as one sent to this generation. Our generation is not just here to just pass and watch things happen. No, in the name of Jesus Christ, our generation has a say. Someone say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We get to decide.
We get to decide.
In our generation.
In our generation.
In the earth realm.
In the earth realm.
Concerning our generation.
Concerning our generation.
And the activities.
And the activities.
Of the earth.
Of the earth.
We get to decide.
We get to decide.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because we are on God's side.
We are on God's
we
side.
Get to decide.
We get to decide.
And we say.
And we say.
Concerning our generation.
Concerning our generation.
The nations.
The nations,
Jimmy, give me sound. The nations,
the nations,
the nations,
the nations
are coming,
are coming,
are coming,
are coming
to receive, instructions, from the church,
to receive,
understanding,
understanding
from the church.
From the
shall
church.
We lift up our voices? They will say,
Sula Badadai, Laka Brand Setepe, Libret Salaba Telekapa, La Bredu Sila Katapa, Le Prince.
We have 5 minutes. We have 5 minutes. Somebody pray. Online, I want you praying. 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 They will say, they will say, let us go up. They will say, they will say, let us go up. They will say, 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 they will say,